Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
You asked for it, you got it. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for lazy people of all persuasions. He wanted to be a cowboy, but became a Medicare expert instead. Doug Jones.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or it may be good afternoon, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We're so happy to have you with us today. This is a special, special day in the life of the Lazy Man organization. I'll explain that in just a couple of minutes. First, I'd like to encourage you, if you have any interest at all in Medicare, to go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and buy a copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. That is the current book that's out to help people feel confident about their approach to Medicare and their interaction with Medicare and their ultimate conquering of Medicare as they walk away victors in that immortal struggle that occurs in many people's households when they approach age 65 or when they approach retirement from their employment. So if you buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, and if you sit down for about an hour and a half or thereabouts and read that book, you're going to have more knowledge about Medicare than almost anybody you know. That will qualify you to be a Medicare expert, and it will be a beautiful thing. You'll be able to strut around the neighborhood showing off your newfound knowledge about Medicare. And this will make you a lot more confident when you have your interaction with Medicare. So you can buy the Audible version for about $6. You can buy the ebook Kindle version for about $3.80. You can buy the ever popular paperback version for about $8. And you can buy the magnificently appointed hardcover version suitable for gifting to friends and relatives for about $22. So if you buy my book and if you read my book, you're going to find yourself very, very conversant with all of the things you need to know about Medicare. And then you can contact me when it's time and I'll help you acquire all the other insurance you need to make Medicare a foolproof armor protection against the evils of medical bills coming from everywhere. So why is this a special day at the Medicare for the Lazy Man headquarters? It is a special day because this is my last day in Arizona for quite some time, and I'm leaving it in good hands. I mean, every time I leave town, Randy takes over automatically. It's just like when the president has a root canal, which I think I saw on TV today, is going to have a root canal or something, then the vice president always takes over automatically. And so Randy is going to be holding down the fort while I'm driving across the country back to Wayne, Illinois, to see what's going on with the money pit that I acquired 2.5 years ago and still not ready to live in. I used to have a lot of money. I know where it's all buried now, and it's not retrievable anymore. So, Randy, I'm going to have to leave things in your capable hands while I'm gone. I hope that's okay with you.
I'll try my best, Doug. That's all I can say. Nobody can match up to Doug Jones.
Well, you've done a fantastic job. I remember my last couple of trips. When I came back, you were anxious to announce that we had acquired a yacht.
And, yes.
And the trip prior to that, we acquired a jet airplane, as I recall.
Yeah. And so, you're right.
Something wonderful seems to happen every time. Of course, we never make any money. The stockholders are wondering where their dividends are.
Well, you know, while you're gone heading towards the East Coast, you know, back there in the land of Well, let's see. What should we call
it? Well, the governor's name is Pugsley. So,
well, the governor's name is Pugsley. It's the land of Lincoln and Pugsley.
Yeah.
And obviously there's crickets, there's grasshoppers, there's mosquitoes. What else have you got in Illinois that's notable?
Corn and beans. And we got some corn-fed gals.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. So while you're back in Illinois, I'm definitely on the shopping spree. I'm not sure. I'm thinking about maybe trading up. We don't have a jet yet.
I thought we had a jet.
We have a yacht. We have a yacht.
What is that thing that whisks you from city to city?
Oh, I didn't tell you about that.
Uh-oh. Yeah, boy. I'm wondering if all of these trips I take are really doing the company any good.
Well, they're obviously doing the company good, at least from my perspective.
You have a very limited perspective in some cases. So, anyway,
we've got the possibility. So before we start, before you start off on your information and content path here, do you want to have a question?
Absolutely. I love that question and answer session we have every time.
All right. So this is a really tough one.
Okay. I'm ready.
Take a breath. It's not hard. You'll get through it. I know you will, Doug.
Oh, I'm nervous now.
Question number 12. How do I change my address with Medicare?
Oh, boy. Now, that's one I've never actually had to think about. But I guess one would call the Social Security Administration and say, here's my Medicare number. Here's my new address. And, of course, they're going to run you through the ringer because of HIPAA laws. They're going to try to make sure that you're not an imposter changing the address so that mail will come to you instead of to the rightful addressee. Okay, so the one answer is call the Social Security Administration. I suppose one could get online, go to Medicare.gov, and everybody, they try to get everybody to open an online account that's password protected. Oh, boy. You know something? I don't feel confident that my answer is the best answer. So why don't you tell us all what the right answer is for this?
Well, let me look, because I have answers on the document. Let me see what it might say for answer number 12. Oh, let's see. Oh, here we go. I'm looking for how do I change my address? How do I change my address? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I feel like I'm really intelligent now because I have an answer in front of me.
You can call me Grasshopper if you want.
Grasshopper. Okay, so here we go. To change your address with Medicare, you must contact your local Social Security office and verify your identity. From there, they can change your address on file by answering a few simple questions and providing supporting documentation. If, and I only say if, you have multiple addresses, you must provide your permanent residence. This is determined by where you spend most of the time throughout the year. Now, in Doug's case, I think that's the Buffalo chick.
Well, sometimes it's Harold's.
Well, okay, they're right across the parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely. They share the same parking, or they used to. Harold's has a new fence up, by the way, to make sure that they'll never be able to share parking lots again.
They've always been after each other for years.
Yeah. The best time was when the Buffalo Chips team, which was the Packers, played the Harold's favorite team, which is the Steelers, in the Super Bowl. They had to put an electrified concertina wire fence up in the parking lot between the two bars to make sure the crowds didn't go after each other during the game.
Wasn't that the time they actually had a guard tower in between them?
They might have built a structure to try to ensure that no riots occurred, but that was a scary, scary time for everybody.
Yes, it was. Well, I'm glad to be able to help you out with that answer. It wasn't too exciting, but that was what the document said.
The real stupid thing about it, though, is this HIPAA crap that Ted Kennedy, who is now dead, I think we should rescind the HIPAA regulations, but it is so, it creates so much extra cost and time and effort. When I call on behalf of a client, I love to service my clients by taking care of their requests, but I'm not allowed to. And so often I have to tell my clients they won't take this address change or this bank account change from me. They will only take it from you. Now, here's what happens. And if I hadn't been raised by such moral people, I would do this on a regular basis. But if I've got a female client who needs a new address or a bank account or something like that, I could get my content curator to pretend to be that person. I could just lay out the information that she's going to need. They ask what her date of birth is or what her Medicare number is, and I can just have all that stuff on a piece of paper right in front of her, and she can become my client for the purposes of doing the client a favor. But I just don't do that because it doesn't seem right to have to cheat to avoid the effects of a law that's stupid in the first place. But, you know, what did we expect when Ted Kennedy comes up with a brainstorm?
Well, you know what, you know, along those same lines, Doug, you know what I think is just the pinnacle of stupidity.
Tell me what that is.
You know, Margaret does a lot of stuff like, you know, taking care of my, you know, all my crap, you know,
yeah,
that kind of insurance crap, you know.
Sure, sure.
I run from it the other way. But
which Margaret and I don't call it crap. We call it your valuable protection against against bad fortune.
Yes. And so when she calls in, she's like, you know, she needs to do so. Oh, we can't talk to you because this is under the name of Joe Doakes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That, yeah.
So I need to have Joe Doakes' permission. And then I just get on the phone. Joe Doakes here. Yes. Yes. You can talk to Margaret. And so how do they freaking, they don't know that whether I'm Joe Doakes or
they
Larry
don't know.
Smith.
So many times I have called an insurance company on behalf of a client and they've said, is the client there with you? Well, my client's probably 2,000 miles away in many cases. And I always want to say, yes, my client is right here. And then I could become the client. But, you know, I'm just too.
Yeah. My client slept in my living room last night. Okay. On a sleeping bag.
Right. He came from Washington State all the way to my house just so I could call you and have him present to confirm his identity. You morons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I swear to God, you feel the same way I do, but bottom line is it's stupid. Now, then I pulled my head out of the darker nether regions one time. I said, so how do they think that's going to help? I think the only reason they do that is that, you know, if I call and say, hey, who changed my address to, you know, Alaska?
Yep.
They say, well, I got a recording right here that somebody said you're you. And so that releases them from responsibility.
That's exactly it. It's called plausible deniability. It's sort of plausible that client called up and was sitting with the agent when the agent tried to make the change.
Yeah. I mean, so, I have all my customers sitting with me.
Well, sure. They're always within an arm's reach. Well, anyway, we should get to work here.
I suppose we should do something, right, Doug?
Yeah, instead of just goofing around for a half an hour and then going home, that would be stupid. But I did want to mention that I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And the interesting thing is that you've already been playing many episodes that we've piled up in the bank. And so it's really kind of a time warp. People are hearing this towards the end of my trip, instead of actually on the day we're recording it.
By the time they hear this, you'll be well into your trip and probably not home, but you'll be well into your trip.
Yeah.
And you'll be well into your wishes to get home.
Absolutely.
To get away from the mosquitoes the size of B-52s.
Well, they tell me that those haven't come out yet. By the time I get there, they probably will. But that's I'll give that report when I return. I'll let you know what the mosquito situation was in Illinois. But I've got a lot of stuff to go through here. Way too much stuff for any episode that we've ever had, any normal length episode. But I do have several items on one particular topic. And I always enjoy and I encourage people to write to me. I encourage people to go to the website and fill out the questionnaire if they've never talked to me before, because that gives me all the information I need to tell them what their coverages, their Medicare coverages are going to cost. But it seems that a lot of people just like to contact me directly. And so I have some items here that I want to uncurate from the content curator has put these in the stack. And so I'm just going to go through the latest correspondence I've gotten from several people that I really hope are going to become longtime clients of mine. First one is from a person named Bruce. So Bruce writes, I have good health and I'm a little overweight. He actually did go to the website and fill out the questionnaire on the website. So I have all the information on Bruce that I need. He says, I have good health and I'm a little overweight. And this is the part I found interesting. He said, I have a good job as a ship surveyor. He and his fellow ship surveyors apparently survey ships. I'd never heard that before. Randy wants to know.
What is a ship surveyor?
Well, as it turns out, I had to Google it and find out for myself. And I believe a ship surveyor measures the ship to make sure it's within its design parameters. So it doesn't have anything wrong. Like, has it hit an iceberg and nobody knows it yet? Did it warp the ship a little bit? Or is there a hole anywhere in the ship? Is there something wrong with the ship, or is it ship shape? That's my impression of what a ship surveyor does. So I didn't say that fast real time. So anyway, he says, I don't think I'll be retiring anytime soon. The company I work for has other persons in the same job as mine who are 70 years old. I believe if this job were lost, I would find another one. I listened to your narrated book from audible.com. I don't take any drugs regularly, nor take vitamins regularly. I have a health savings account kind of insurance with the company, and he gives the company name. It's Nippon Haji Kaiokai or Class NK. I have no idea what that's all about.
Yippie-I-O-K-A. Is that anything like it?
I think it's the Japanese version of that.
Nippon would certainly be one of the Japanese companies.
Absolutely. They got a lot of ships, so I guess you have to survey those ships too. Also, I have a friend in Houston I was in the U.S. Navy with. He went with some gentleman here and has all the things that you recommend, Medicare Supplement Plan G, but he said he dropped the Part D, the drug coverage, because of the cost of the drugs were much lower than the deductible. I think he might have made a mistake by doing that. And I told him that. But also, my mother is still alive at 92 years old, although recently she was told she has cancer. All right. So that's what happens when the people go to the website and fill out the questionnaire. They just start throwing in a lot of interesting facts and figures about their history and their family and so forth. So I said, hello, Bruce. Thanks for visiting my website. I'm happy to help you facilitate your enrollment in Medicare whenever you think the time is right for you. It sounds to me as though you are happy with your job and also with your employer-provided group health insurance plan, and it sounds like you plan to continue both for at least the next few years. In that case, you can ignore all parts of Medicare until the time you intend to leave your current situation. When you see that coming in the future, let me know, and I can help you through the process at that time. Until then, you should not enroll in any part of Medicare because it might jeopardize the tax-advantaged contributions you make to your HSA. And then I said, if your friend in Houston had asked my opinion about dropping his drug plan, I would first offer to perform that search described in the book to identify that plan, the plan that would be the best and the cheapest for him in view of his location, the meds he takes, and the pharmacies he prefers to use. I also might remind him that if he drops the cheap plan I locate, he will risk the imposition of a lifetime. Oh, boy. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. If he drops the drug plan, he will risk the imposition of a lifetime late enrollment penalty if he ever has to buy another plan in the future to offset the cost of his prescription drugs. And then finally, I said, I'm not a Social Security expert at all, but if I expect to live a long life and if I plan to keep working, I would put off taking Social Security payments until age 70. I think he asked, he asked about Social Security, but I didn't read that part. So frankly, since this is a Medicare, not a Social Security podcast, I'm going to stop right there. But I don't believe I'm going to hear from Bruce for a long time until he decides he wants to leave his job, which he seems to like. So I'm hoping that someday in the future, Bruce will recontact me and he and I will arrange his Medicare coverages. So who do we have here? We have Robert. And Robert said, "Hi, Mr. Jones." And then in parentheses, he says, "Trying to be respectful while not being overly stilted." And then he goes on to say, "I just finished your book. Wow, truly fantastic." Oh, boy, that's pretty high praise, Robert. Thank you very much. He said, "I've been paging through other books in bits and pieces, and of course, the Social Security Administration site and other stuff on the internet. None of that, nor can they hold a candle to what you've authored here. Clear, concise, yet miraculously comprehensive. I can't wait to give it a reread once I've finished my first round of research." And then he said, "Thank you. I'll be recommending it to everyone in my cohort as they turn 65. My story is, number one, Medicare snuck up on me too." That's a reference to a clause that I put into the book, that Medicare snuck up on me. I wasn't prepared for it at all. And the same thing happened to Robert. Somewhat anyway, he said, "I've been doing light research in the last few months, but of course it's coming down to the wire." And he said, "Number two, I turned 65 on March 12th, so I have a bit less than 2 weeks left to enroll." We're reading this in June, and he's worried about running out of his 3-month period. You know, you get 3 months before your birth month. You've got the month of your birth month and then 3 months afterwards to enroll in Medicare in a timely manner. And number three, he says, "I've spoken to one insurance agent so far." And number four, he said, "I'd be happy to work with your agency if you have one, although I got the sense that you might not have one." He said, "I live in New Jersey." And then number five, he said, "I loved reading about your wife. Clearly, you got lucky on that important decision. And based on the humor and the style of your book, may I dare say, I think she got lucky too." Thanks, Robert. May I quote you on that? He went on to say, "And both of you got lucky, in my humble opinion, on getting out to Arizona ahead of everybody else. Really well played on that move. All the best, Rob." So, Rob, I answered Rob. His office is in the World Trade Center, but not one of the tall ones that fell down. He's in 7 World Trade Center, and I think those buildings really took a beating on 9/11, but many of them did not have to be destroyed. So he's in one of the World Trade Center buildings that was not a high rise. I don't know where my response to Rob is, so I'm going to have to set that one aside. And here is the final letter from a potential client that I got. And once again, my answer is not there. It's not very helpful if I don't have my advice to my pontification, but this was an ego stroke anyway, so I'm going to read it. So this is from a doctor, and he's located, I think, in the southern part. He's along the Gulf Coast, and I think he's in Mississippi. So he says, "Dear Mr. Jones, first of all, thank you for writing such an excellent book, Making Medicare Simple. I will recommend it to all of my friends and patients. I have a few questions that I know you can answer, and I would appreciate your advice as I don't like to make mistakes." He said, "I will turn 65 on June 14th of this year." Randy, what day is it? Today's the 13th, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. So happy birthday, doctor, tomorrow. Although by the time this goes out on the air, it'll be weeks ago. Anyway, he said, "I'll turn 65 on June 14th of this year, and I'm a practicing cardiologist and cardiac electrophysiologist. And I will continue to practice for several more years, I hope. I understand that I will enroll in a Medicare Part A now, according to your simple online instructions. But I want to ask you about the other parts, given the fact that I still want to work for now. I have an employer-sponsored group insurance plan that works quite well, and I think that takes care of my enrollment in a Medicare Part B, or lack of enrollment, appropriately. I take it that there is no reason to enroll in Medicare Part B then currently. But what about Medicare supplement plans and the prescription drug plan? even though I take no medications? Or should I defer this as well? I filed my federal taxes in the state of Florida and work in the state of Mississippi. Not that that probably has anything to do with this. I will go ahead and enroll in Medicare Part A before June 1st, and thank you for your help. If these are questions that are best answered via your website, please let me know. And signed, Mark. And so I did answer Mark in very thorough fashion by letting him know that as a guy who's working, he's actively at work, and he's covered by his employer's group plan, he doesn't have to do anything about Medicare. He can ignore Medicare. So I'm making the assumption that the group plan that he's covered by is like all others, pretty much. I mean, it'd be shocking if it weren't considered to be a qualifying group plan for the purpose of replacing Medicare. But now he doesn't have to do a darn thing about Medicare until such time as he decides to retire and leave the group plan that he's covered by. And he can ignore everything. So that's what I told him. So here is another guy who is happy in his current situation, wants to work past 65, and I probably won't hear from him for a few years, but I hope he remembers to contact me when he eventually decides to retire. So that was a little tiny area of the long list that I told Randy we were going to talk about, but I've run out of time, so all those other things on my list are going to have to be ignored.
We are up.
Yeah, we spent the 75 cents and the crickets are all whatever crickets do.
The cricketing, they are cricketing. They are past their cricketing. You know, I put 3/4 in the, the machine and it's gone. I mean, we are, and the operator, you know how the operator said, put another quarter in the machine, the phone, and I want to hear it ring.
Yep.
Okay.
They used to, and if you ever bought a book back in the 60s or 70s called Steal This Book, written by Abby Hoffman, well, first thing you do is steal the book. Secondly, somewhere within that book was a trick that I learned. It was you take the seal that they would seal up a railroad car or a truck trailer with.
Right.
And it's always got like numbers on it and everything. It's made out of metal. And when you cut that seal, you can straighten it out into a long, skinny piece of metal. Well, you could stick that into the quarter slot on a telephone and cause the bell to ring, thereby fooling the operator. And in fact, I think if you put it in the dime slot, it would release the change that was being held in the telephone into the change return slot. So you could actually make money on your phone call.
Oh, dear.
That book was full of ideas. Another one was get in your Volkswagen microbus.
Yeah.
And drive to a gas station and just park off to the side like you're going to go in and get a pack of smokes, which most people did back then. And in reality, what you've got is a hole with a trap door in the floor of your Volkswagen microbus.
Oh, I know what's happening here. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got a hose and a hand pump. And what you're doing is you're reaching down under the microbus and uncovering the tank of gasoline that's underground. And then you're dropping the hose into it and pumping up a whole bunch of gasoline to fill the 55-gallon drum. Of course, now your microbus is going to drag its butt all the way out of that gas station because they were not built to hold that much weight.
No, no, they weren't. Well, you know something? We need to land the plane, given the fact that the operator is now dinging my bell rapidly here. So
already,
let's go ahead and land the plane, bring the bus in, and bring the train into the station. But before I do, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate it. You could have been 100 different places doing 101 different things, but you weren't. You were with us spending a little bit of time with Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And I just wanted to mention, I always do, that Doug Jones is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with everything about your Medicare supplement planning. You can reach out to him. And he, again, I hate to say this, but he was so disappointed this morning when I saw him come into the office. There was nothing waiting in the mailbox for him. So send him some mail at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check us out on the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. And if you possibly get a chance, give us a rating on our podcast and book, because we are always up against the rating wars in this business. But we have really enjoyed having you, so thank you. We need to sign off, and in case you weren't checking the time, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma originally. No more. He's up in the high altitude mountains behind Cave Creek, Arizona, hanging desperately onto his Army surplus telescope from his fortress of solitude, making sure that the city is safe. And I'm going to place him in. Okay, I'll put him down below the oxygen line. Okay, 8,000 feet.
I can live with that. Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.